forever. Dog.
Comic books, comic time. Writers and artists are on the line. They make a splash as a comic's read and take us on a trip behind the spread. Watch out for comic book commentary. Spinning a winning inside fix, how they got a hot idea. Narrative, character, visual tricks, and bam, onomatopoeia. Uh-huh. It's comic book commentary.
Hi, this is Amy Chu. I'm a comic book writer and also the writer of Betty and Veronica Meet Red Sonja and Vampirella, the craziest mashup ever. I'm going to basically walk you through the whole issue just so you have hopefully some insight as to how we put the issue together, and just a little bit about the background, first of all, behind the idea. First of all, I think it was Dynamite that approached me and asked if I was interested in doing it. And I'll be honest, at first I thought it was crazy and I almost said no because, well, it's basically a triple crossover and it's just kind of really hard to do. Especially with these characters, fairly well-known characters, at least in the comic book world. But then I sort of slept on it, and I thought, well, actually, I did have an idea, and if I could pull it off and do it well, then, you know, that would be kind of a feather in my cap. So this is what happened. This is my first time working with Matt Idelson. Matt Idelson, for people who know the business, he worked at DC for many, many, many years, never was able to work with him. So I'm kind of thrilled that, I was able to do this series with him. Also my first time working with Maria Senapo, who's the artist. And she's absolutely lovely. A lot of the dynamism in the artwork that you will see as we will move forward is hers. I one of the things I like to do, if I know in advance who I'm working with, I do try to tailor the script to that artist, just because for you readers out there, it's just a better book. You want to play to the artist's strengths, have an idea of what they like to draw, what they're not as happy or you don't want people to, you don't want to throw in a bunch of horses if the artist doesn't know how to draw horses, essentially. So, this is kind of a fun kind of, you can't take this kind of series too seriously. They're, four iconic characters that I think Maria had a lot of fun drawing, as you will see. So let's get started. Actually, before we talk excuse me about Maria's interiors, let's talk about the amazing covers. You will see, I think they kind of went to town on these covers. I think there was something like 6 different variant covers, all pretty cool. I have to say the Faye Dalton cover was really just, it's just gorgeous, really fun. But my favorite has to be Polina Ganichot's, because I've worked with her before. She did a short story in one of my Girls Night Out anthologies a number of years back. And when I say a number of years, that's like 4 or 5 years. But in dog years, you know what I mean. Anyway, they're all fantastic covers. I'm sure they did really well because I'll just tell you that even though I had scripted out five issues for this arc, Dynamite came back and said, hey, can you add a 6th issue? So I have to assume that the sales are pretty strong for this issue. That's how business works. Anyway, let's start with page 1. I'm honestly not sure how this works. I don't know if you guys are, playing along with me, but I'll try to sort of describe, page 1 establishing shot. Of course, we are in Riverdale High School. We start off with a new teacher, substitute biology teacher. You pretty much know he's going to be toast, right? The whole series is basically, it's sort of a gothic romp in Riverdale, because that is really the only way I could figure out, you know, how the heck do you get Red, Sonia, and Vampirella together with Betty and Veronica? In theory, we could bring Betty and Veronica to the planet Draculon, or to, you know, back to the Hyborian age. Just a lot trickier bringing Betty and Veronica out of their element. Much easier to bring Red, Sonia, and Vampirella to Riverdale. We're very familiar with the sleepy town of Riverdale, and it's also quite ripe for, let's say, some supernatural murders. Again, gosh, you know, who would have thought Riverdale would have so much going on? Anyway, this was super fun to write. And as I'm going along, a little shout out to Taylor Esposito, the letterer. He has been lettering. He's lettered quite a number of the books I've done over the years. I'm sure he has done some Red Sonja, Deja Thoris. I believe he also did some Poison Ivy back in 2016. So you'll notice as we move on to page two, you see some outstanding sound effects, which I know are real pain. So if you are a writer and you want to change sound effects after they've already lettered, you're not making many friends in the lettering world there. Anyway, so Taylor did an amazing job on this issue. So page two is when we first get introduced to Red Sonja and Vampirella. Now, you know, the trick for a lot of, for writers or in general, is even though we're dealing with characters that maybe we know fairly well ourselves, not all readers obviously know them. Since, again, this is a triple crossover, you've got, I assume that you got people who are fans of the Archie world, but maybe don't know Vampirella and Red Sonja, and vice versa. Truthfully, too, I am not as familiar with Vampirella as I am, certainly with Red Sonja, which I had written a whopping 25 issues. So that's a couple of years of my life right there that I didn't realize I would be spending with Red Sonja. Again, super fun. But this is my first time really writing Vampirella. Yes, that's true. My first time writing Vampirella. So this is kind of fun. And because of that, you will notice, I don't want to say Red Sonja takes a back seat as much, but I have to say that I did spend more time trying to build up Vampirella's role in this. Now, again, you can't take this kind of story super seriously, so we definitely went with a kind of fun tone on this. Anyway, page two is really a kind of a what we call the splash page, which is a full page basically just showing off. I'm sorry, we're skipping ahead. That's page three. Page three is the splash page, showing the appearance of Vampirella and Red Sonja. Now, I was advised early on when I was just learning to write to make sure that you show your character's powers, abilities, just all their features very early on. It was Axel Alonso, actually, former editor-in-chief of Marvel, who was stressing this, and it's very good advice. You don't want to have a slow burn of, who are these people and what do they actually do, especially in this kind of story. You need to kind of establish who they are and why they're there very, very early on. So flipping back to page two, you notice that Vampirella is a bat, and she transforms into her human or her vampire alien form. She's not human. She's kind of an alien. On page three. Now, the other reason that I like to do splash pages, and especially for mainstream, I'm talking about mainstream comics, by the way. essentially artists have more fun drawing these pages. And just, again, this is something that, people like to collect if you're doing old school and you have original art. But it's just a really nice kind of visual treat for people. Now, we haven't even gotten this far. We're only on page 3. But also, another thing to also talk about, and maybe other people have talked about this, is panel count per page. Now, as you go through, you'll notice I tend to keep panel counts very low. Basically, 3 to 5 panels. I very rarely go to 6 or 7 panels. And to me, it's about establishing a visual rhythm and just punctuated with some very nice splashy shots. So if that makes sense. Almost all my comics, if you sort of scrutinize that kind of visual rhythm, that's pretty much what I strive for. So just keeping in mind, if they're print comics, the page turn, I'll try to keep the splash pages really on the left-hand side if I can. That doesn't always work out, but that's kind of what I'm thinking, just for a nice reveal. Anyway, page 4, we get into the meat of why they're there. And, you know, this is where we get into willing suspension of disbelief. I mean, let's just assume that they're best buddies. And I think it does make sense. Red Sonja and Vampirella have a lot of synergy. I mean, Red Sonja is a mercenary. She kills people. She provides blood for Vampirella. Vampirella needs blood to survive. So let's just assume that they're already really good friends. And it makes sense that they're hunting killers in Riverdale. So here they, of course, come across a homeless person who tells them where the morgue is. Moving on to the next page, Riverdale Mortuary. Again, a little display of Vampirella's powers. So she's got, actually, her powers are not, I think, incredibly well-defined. Vampirella is a character who's been around, I believe, since the 60s. Yes. in fact, Red Sonja is a little younger. She's been around since 1976 or so. Vampirella is actually a little older, but she seems to have gone through many different iterations of what she can or cannot do. So I'm not going to get into every single power, but she's got some, you know, kind of hypnotic powers that she demonstrates here. So let's see. Yeah, so that is what we're demonstrating here. This was a little tricky too. One of the things I do like to do with an artist, especially if the artist lives in another country, is to give them plenty of photo references so we don't have any unpleasant surprises of, and I think it helps them save time too. I do think that the artists really appreciate it when you can send exactly what we're thinking, because I actually had to look up a lot of morgues, you know, because I don't really actually know, aside from X-Files, how, you know, these bodies are stored. So it was kind of fascinating and morbid. Anyway, I did send a few links to Maria, and so you will see here more or less a composite. I think it's also, I am an X-Files fan, and a lot of, I think probably my only other morgue scene was from an X-Files comic I wrote a couple years ago. Anyway, there they are with a dead body. Right, page 7, we do a little bit of a flashback about the Cult of Chaos, who they believe that they are trying to, you know, who are the culprits behind this rash of murders. Cult of Chaos is actually, I didn't make that up. Again, had to do some research into the many, many, many stories of Vampirella. Cult of Chaos is one of the baddies, or group of baddies that, you know, her arch nemesis and many many stories. So makes sense, right? Probably first time Sonya's run across them, but it doesn't matter. They're kind of like the dynamic duo in this story. So here, finally, we get to Betty and Veronica, who are hiding in the morgue. And, I mean, it makes sense, right? How else do we bring them in? They're junior reporters for the Riverdale High School paper, The Blue and Gold. So, let's see. Moving on to page 9. And again, this is getting back to Axel's golden rule of establish quickly who they are and why they're there. And then we take care of another logistic problem. Obviously, Red Sonja and Vampirella are wearing more or less their traditional outfits that are just simply not going to fit in today's Riverdale High School. So we're sort of fast forwarding here again to I'm just basically fast forwarding to really Maria's favorite scene. I did kind of write it for her. On page 10. Where, of course, Veronica's like, no, there's no way you can go to our high school dressed like that, which is true. They probably get kicked out. So she invites them to her home, Stately Mansion, the Lodge Stately Mansion, and to go through her closet. So so now they're sort of in slightly more appropriate gear for essentially being undercover sleuths at Riverdale High. And again, nice splashy page here, page 12. So a lot of sort of little jokes as we go along. But, I just, you know, as far as tone for writing, you know, you do kind of want to figure that out. This is a little hard, again. I did find this very challenging because finding the voice for each character, and when you have four different characters, you don't want to slight any of them, but trying to find four distinctive voices and balancing that, it is pretty tough right now. So we're talking about issue 1, but I'm actually just finished writing issue 3 and I'm starting on 4, so I'm getting more of the hang of it. Hopefully as you read through, you'll feel that, but it is really kind of this is the challenge of writing a team book, so to speak. So I also did ask, which is part of the reason I enjoy working on this. They did tell me that I could use any Archie character, including Archie. So I thought, okay, that's fantastic. Of course, then I asked even Sabrina, and they said no Sabrina. I'm like, well, I thought you said every character. Well, apparently every character except Sabrina, but that's fine. Of course, Sabrina is the only supernatural one, but without, we can still do it without her. So again, fast forwarding, we're at Riverdale High. In the classroom, page 14, they meet Archie for the first time. Don't get too excited. The whole point is, Archie's there as a cameo, but it's obviously not Archie's story. So moving right along. Red Sonja is definitely not the best student. Anyone who knows Red Sonja knows that she's illiterate, so that's part of her character. We talk a little bit about that here, I think. One of the things that really made me happy to write this story, page 16, so she of course joins the football team. This is something that is partly the idea for this was actually from my own experience in high school. I actually joined the boys' soccer team, and that became a huge deal, which I didn't think it was at the time, but it did become a big Title IX lawsuit thing. But that's a whole nother story, which we don't have time. But anyway, if you are interested in that whole saga of my life, that was it's actually in the book Nevertheless, We Persisted, with a foreword by Amy Klobuchar. That's my actual story of how I joined the boys' soccer team. So this is neither here nor there, but if anyone asks, well, what made me think of Red Sonja joining the football team? Well, that's actually my experience. But anyway, moving right along. Yeah, so that was kind of cathartic for me to write that whole scene. And I think it's kind of funny. Anyway, and, you know, again, we don't get to do this with Red Sonja real life, you know. So she's clearly having fun, basically, destroying stereotypes here. And naturally, we need another murder. So that's happening right about now. And boom, nice splash, and page 20, assistant coach is dead. So I kind of sped through the last part of that, but, you know, it's always good, especially for this kind of story, to, you want to kind of end on a cliffhanger, especially for issue one, but also provide enough meat all the way through. So hopefully I did that. Now when people ask me what my process is for something like this, I do tend to write the ending first, because if I don't have the ending, it's very hard for, you know, you kind of don't want to meander through and then you don't make your page count and you don't have a kind of a satisfying finish. So I do always write the ending first to make sure I've got that, then go back to the beginning and then make sure I got the middle set up. Also, in terms of coming up with a whole story for the entire arc, I work it out basically. So we have an arc with an actual ending. Of course, things change as we go along, and that's actually happening right now. Especially, you know, characters tend to sometimes surprise you and, like, they change along the way. So, in fact, when I just said that I outline everything and start with the ending, it's actually changing a little bit as we speak. So, as you're reading issue one, the ending for the entire arc is now slightly different than when I originally pitched it. So, we'll see where this goes. I hope you're enjoying this, and I hope I didn't ramble too much. That's my commentary right there. You know, the average page count for something like this is 20 pages. I very rarely get offered something like right now. I write the series for Lion Forge called Summit, and they give me 24 pages. That's almost too much of a luxury. I tend to find that I have 4 extra pages all the time. With 20 pages, you really have to boil it down to, you know, it's almost like writing haiku. You really got to boil down every action, every panel, so that it, you know, the story moves forward. And hopefully you find that here. I don't know what else I can say, but I hope you enjoyed it. Definitely, if you can, subscribe to, well, of course, not just Ben's podcast, but this actual series, because it has been a lot of fun, and I hope you will see the satisfying conclusion at the end. And then hopefully I get invited back to do another commentary, just as a kind of, you know, postmortem on how well this went. So thanks. Thanks for letting me ramble. And thanks to Ben for letting me do this.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.